Welcome to the For the Church podcast, another great gospel-centered resource from Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. My name is Jared Wilson. I'm an assistant professor of pastoral ministry and author in residence at Midwestern Seminary. And I'm here as always with my friend and my colleague and my co-host, assistant professor of systematic theology. I don't know why I was getting hung up on that.
It's a pretty easy title.
It's Dr. Ronnie Kurtz, I suppose. For some people. How you been, brother?
I'm doing well, man. How are you lately?
I'm doing okay. We've been watching some more classic movies.
Yes.
Recently.
Yeah. What are you watching?
Well, we went way back. We watched the Charlie Chaplin City Lights, which I had seen a long time ago, but Becky had never seen it. And it's 1931.
Okay.
So it's not quite a silent film. It's a pantomime film. So there's no spoken dialogue. You have the little dialogue cards like you would in a silent film. But it has a musical soundtrack, and it has sound effects to it. And I was just charmed all over again. I think it's probably college since I saw it. So it's like 30 years since I've seen it. It's just so good. Like, we were laughing. You know what I mean? Like, it was on this list that Beck had made of, like, you know, films that she wanted to see. And there's quite a few classics on there. And I was like, well, let's just start with that one. And we pulled it up. And, I mean, we just, the orchestration, the choreography of these comedic scenes, the boxing scene in particular.
I've never seen it.
The boxing scene is just hysterical. And it's, there's no, you know, it's just him acting out things. And you see why Charlie Chaplin was Charlie Chaplin.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You know, just a genius.
Yeah. But there's a beautiful story in it, too, because it's he's trying to raise money for an operation that will heal this blind girl's blindness. There's a doctor in Austria that can you know, make the blind see, I guess. They don't explain any of that. But he's raising money so she can have this operation because he's in love with the blind girl. And there's this whole, you know, there's this whole resonance with, at the end, I got a sermon illustration out of it that I'm going to use in a
couple weeks. Which is why we all watch movies.
Yeah. Well, when it happened, right, I thought, oh, this makes a perfect for the end of 2 Corinthians 3, right, with the veil and an unveiled face and being, you know, the blindness thing, when she can finally see.
Yeah.
And she sees that the guy who's been helping, that she's in love with, is a little tramp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And not a handsome prince. There's something to that.
Yeah.
I just thought, there's a beauty there.
Yes.
I don't even know if Chaplin knew he was doing.
But yeah. That's amazing. Good. I love that. Yeah.
You like old movies?
You know, I'm getting more into older movies.
Okay.
Liking movies is relatively new to me.
Okay.
Was just never really a movie guy growing up. But the last, like, 10 years, I've really fallen in love with movies.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of working my way backwards now.
Okay.
Like, doing all my past homework. So.
Yeah. You should check out Facing the Giants.
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone.
You've seen it? I don't even remember that.
That for some reason, that line made me laugh so
Look
hard.
Up, Brock. You're in the
end zone.
Is that when he has to do like the blind,
the crawl,
the blindfolded crawl?
Yeah.
Oh my word!
Yeah. It's like a line that I pull out of my back pocket all the time with my friends.
Russ made me watch that.
Wow!
We did the movie swap. See, you and I can't do movie swap.
Yeah,
we've had similar tastes.
Yeah, that's true.
But we can do the film club.
So
we'll do one of those.
This is like a small teaser for the FTC Film Club.
FTC Film Club. If you have suggestions, if any of our listeners have suggestions for movies for the FTC Film Club, let us know. You can even send it to mailbag@ftc.co.
So far, we've only done one.
We've only done one. And what we're looking for is a well-made, right? So not a Christian movie that you know you and your grandma really enjoyed that you got at the Redbox, but a well-made, sort of artful, maybe, or just thoughtful film. And it doesn't have to be a Christian film, but a film that has Christian sort of themes to it, or has a spirituality angle to it. And of course, it needs to be something that doesn't have objectionable content so that we can talk about it on our podcast. Yeah. So let us know.
That's good.
We're not talking about films today.
No.
I guess we could. We're talking about love.
Hey.
It's Valentine's week.
Come on.
Does that mean anything in the Kurtz household?
Dad's birthday is Valentine's Day.
Okay.
And so my whole life, I've always like associated Valentine's Day with my dad. So just a love of my dad, I have a deep love of my dad. The Lord gave me an incredible dad.
Yeah. But you and your beloved,
a deep love of my wife. So
okay.
Yeah.
Do you anything special for Valentine's
Day? We always do something. Oh, okay. But I don't feel like we have like a deep seated tradition for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
We don't
have a tradition. Okay. No, we don't have a tradition. But it's a pretty, like, I look forward to it. It's an important day. We try to take it. I mean, you know, we're empty deserts now. We can do date night.
You can do whatever you want. Yeah, like, it's just a Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly. but yeah, it does something special. We'll probably do an overnight. We usually try to maybe go to the plaza or something and do an overnight. And it's usually, Becky's birthday is February 21st. So it's usually like the week. So it's almost like it's a special week.
Yeah.
Like the Valentine's,
it's like the start.
To birthday kind of thing. But I thought this could be a good opportunity
for
us to talk about love.
Let's talk about love.
What is love?
Baby, don't hurt me.
What's love got to do with it? I wrote a whole book on
love. You did.
I wrote a book called Love Me Anyway, and every chapter I had to come up with, and not just chapter, but the little subheadings within every chapter, all of those are song titles.
I forgot that even the subtitles are, Jared.
That was the hardest part of the book. I actually made a compilation. You know, the internet is a great tool.
Yeah.
Every song that has love in the title, and I just went through all these titles and tried to find ones that were somewhat recognizable, but also worked for what I was talking about, you know?
So the main question then is, after writing the book, is, do you believe in a thing called love?
That's one of the subtitles.
We could do this all day, baby.
Yeah. Love hurts. I mean, all of those songs.
That's wild that you. I know you did the chapters. I forgot.
Love Comes to Town. I mean, I had everything. On there. But I thought this would be a good opportunity to talk about.
Love Me Anyway, by the way, is a stellar book. Thank you, man. If you haven't read it, listeners, go pick it up.
They haven't read it. No one's read that.
It's a good one.
You've read it.
Yeah, I did. I read it and read it in one sitting.
Oh, wow.
And just enjoyed it. Yeah.
Look, it's a light, frothy book.
That's right.
Or you're just like, I better just power through this.
But this is weird to say. I love love.
Yeah, me too.
So I was hooked from the beginning, even at the concept.
Okay.
So there's some curmudgeons about love where it's like, oh, this is a sappy love story. I don't care.
Let's start there. Who's curmudgeonly about love and why?
Sinners and sin.
Okay. All right.
No, I just think there's like a, I don't know if you feel this, but
there are people who poo-poo Valentine's Day.
There are people.
Yeah, know what I mean?
Yeah, there are people who poo-poo Valentine's Day. Like, exactly.
Stupid. Why would you do that?
Yeah, like you could love her
any
day.
Married people. I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Put some romance in your life.
Exactly. Yeah, I love love, and I think it's like, cynicism and skepticism are always going to have some kind of cultural coolness. Okay. And there could be like a cynicism around love, like, oh my gosh, you're just being you're just being over the top. And I'm like, no, I love love. It's an amazing thing to love, you know?
I mean, we're talking about romantic love. Maybe I should be more specific. Maybe the title of this episode should be romance.
Yeah.
To make it as specific as possible. Because love is a big category.
Love is a huge category.
And, you know, there's different kinds of love and there's love, right? But I guess I wanted to talk about like romantic love.
Yeah.
And that kind of like falling in love and feelings of love. And so some people are very cynical about those because they've either not experienced it or they've experienced it and it feels like it's in the distant past. One example that I can think of is when a couple gets married and they're in the newlywed phase, and so romance is like all they think about, maybe, or at least one of the top things they think about, and love comes easy,
mm-hmm.
or at least it feels easy, and you just think in some ways, even if you know intellectually, it won't always feel like this. It feels like it'll always feel like this. Like you can't imagine not feeling that.
That's
way,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
And some sourpuss comes along and says, "Just wait."
Yeah.
And just pours cold water all over the thing.
Here. Yeah.
And I know what they're trying to do. At least what some of them are trying to do. I guess some are trying to like
yeah.
be a buzzkill. But most people are trying to prepare you for when the newlywed phase is over. But I still hate that they do that.
Same, me too.
I still don't like
get
that
out of
they
here
do
with that.
That.
Yeah.
Get out of and why is that? Why should we be opposed to somebody who's trying to bring reality?
Yeah.
Into and, the situation.
Yeah, I think
that's what
I'm,
they're doing.
I'm okay with realism.
Get real, like you're in a fairy tale. The fairy tale. Fairy tale don't last. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Once I just
once she's washing your like skid marked underwear, man. Like the fairy tale is over. You know,
man. I disagree in some ways. Like, I think the beauty of the fairy tale is that when those kinds of moments are happening, the love is still a real beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the intensity of the love, in my experience, is magnified by the ordinariness of the time together. And so it's like, you know, I'm sitting there reading a book and I look up and my wife, you know, our kids are down, my wife's over there, she's reading a book. And if you zoomed out for the situation, this is a remarkably ordinary scene. Just a married couple getting older, doing old people stuff, reading books by the fire.
Yeah.
But like in my world, like that moment is kind of what I'm living for, you know? And so it's like, here is this woman, Kristen in my case, who makes these ordinary moments remarkably meaningful. And so the honeymoon stage will wear off, but actually I think that like recognition of like, there's deep beauty here, even in those like, oh, the kids are crying and we don't know what we're gonna do for supper and it just all feels crazy. I actually think the mature person is the one who can say, no. It wasn't that the honeymoon stage was beautiful and this is ugly or ordinary or silly. The deep person can see the beauty even in the ordinariness and has the theological imagination, has the biblical imagination to be able to perceive the beauty of even those really ordinary moments.
Yeah. Well, I think when you deepen as a person, the romance takes on a different
flavor
too. So like the times when I feel the most like gaga over my wife, or at least one of the, you know, the most frequent times when I feel that, is when I'm most conscious of like what an idiot I am, or just how or how gross I am. I mean, there's just something that I'm like, and this creature wants to be with me. You know what I mean? Like, she takes care of me.
Yeah.
Like, she loves me. Like, she must be something special. Either she's out of her mind, or she must actually love me because, like, I'm a hard to love person. Mm-hmm. And it just made it,
I said as if like I was really agreeing with that. I didn't mean it to come across like that. That's you fine. Are.
You know what? I don't care what you think,
Becky.
About me.
You're a saint.
But you know, it's like that appreciation where I suddenly feel in love. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, oh, she, you know, and because she's a picture of grace in that
come
way.
On.
And so let's make the connection between like where is romantic love in the Bible? What is the why did God give it to us? Like, he could have just like made us smarter animals, I guess, you know, and said, well, you know, you got a mate, you know, you need to procreate or what have you. But he gave us taste buds so that food wouldn't just be fuel, but would be a delight. It would taste good. Mm. And he gave us the capacity for romance as well. Why would he give
I think
to
you
us?
Just answered
it. It complicates so many things.
It does.
Too,
it does, because those things can be perverted. Without a doubt. I mean, those two examples, eating and romance, I mean, those are the easiest to kind of imagine how they get twisted.
Sure. I mean, you go to gluttony or you go to lust or what have you.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but there's got to be a purpose.
Yes. But the beauty of when they're aligned.
Yeah.
Acting right, properly, when they're rightly ordered. It's just, I mean, it's hard to think of another word of other than like enraptured. Like you're so overwhelmed by those moments when your passions are taking over in a good way, if we can talk about passions in a good way, towards your significant other. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, I cannot believe it's you. I cannot believe
I
get you.
It occurs to me, like the first, at least recorded dialogue, recorded, I mean, in the word, not like audio recorded, but is essentially a love song. I mean, it's, you know, it's poetry. Adam seeing Eve for the first time at last.
Yes,
you know?
That's right.
So like from the very beginning, we have this like romantic sense of, and it even being expressed in a unique way.
Mm-hmm.
Of not just, oh, here is my help beat or here is my counterpart, but here is something strange and wonderful and fulfilling and beautiful and romantic and those feelings I think persist to this day. The Lord's telling a story with those things. I think, and it's difficult, I suppose, for people who have struggled in this area, maybe, who have felt like, man, no one that I've ever felt loved this way for has loved me back in that way. Or I have loved that way and got betrayed, or, you know, it just didn't turn out the way that I wanted it to. Then maybe some people are feeling like, man, I've never felt that way. I don't know, like, why is there something wrong with me that I would you know, it feels so strange to me. You know, Valentine's Day is not, I don't just reject it because it's a weird commercial you know, holiday type thing. It just seems so arbitrary and weird. Like, why would you celebrate this kind of thing? Those people are out there as well. What's a word that we would have biblically for just like, well, in a previous episode, we talked about the usefulness of something.
Yeah, that's right.
What's useful?
Yeah.
About romance.
Yeah, I do think there is a lot of pragmatic usefulness of romance, of course, but I think to that person, I would say a couple of things. The counsel would probably look different depending on who it is. I would want to tailor it to that person, but I think to that person, I would say, first, don't gatekeep this. Like, what I mean by that is, like, don't do what we, that your example of like, hey, yeah, enjoy while it lasts, yeah, you know.
Right.
There is a magic and a beauty to romantic love that is a gift from God. And how dare you sit in the seat of scoffer when someone else gets to enjoy it, just because you aren't. Your not enjoying it is not an invitation to make other people not be able to enjoy it. So I would say I would want that to be communicated, maybe in a nicer way that felt a little harsher. But I would also want to say, if that's not what the Lord has for you, we do know that what the Lord has for you is still meaningful and deep and worthwhile and beautiful. And so whether that's waiting for that when you do get to experience that, or maybe that's not your story and you go a different direction, that doesn't mean that story is not meaningful and beautiful and deep in its own right. You just might have to experience that kind of depth in a way that's not with a significant other.
Yeah.
What would you say? Anything you'd add to that?
Well, I just would point to like the biblical storyline of the Lord wooing his people, the Lord wanting to, like, you know, I will, you know, romance you out of the desert, out of the wilderness,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And just the picture even of Christ and his bride, and you know, the whole idea of like the, you know, the story beginning with a wedding and ending with a wedding, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like those pictures tell us that there's something that the Lord is doing with it that is bigger even just than our feelings and, you know, romantic gestures. But all of those things, I think, are like little signposts and ways I think that the Lord gives us capacity to enjoy it, to resonate with it. I think it's almost like a pre-evangelism for folks so that the storyline of Christ and his bride makes an emotional sense as much as a, you know, literal or spiritual sense to us as well. It's like, that I have categories for that. Even something like the Song of Solomon, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can just read it as a bare, you know, marriage, you know, poetry, but to see it from the Christological angle as well, I think it's playing on both levels. But to see it that way is like, oh, so there's something. This has been given to us to help us love Jesus more as well, and to see Jesus better. I think in that sense, it just makes it almost like it makes it a sin to be anti-romance.
Yeah,
to be so cynical about romance.
And the if you were to like even extrapolate from like the romantic love into like a theological understanding of love, and that's too big, we can't do that in an episode. But there's just like a couple of ideas that I like to put forward in terms of like, think about how big of a part it plays in this story. Just two biblical passages. 1 John 4:7, God is love, right?
Yeah.
What does that even mean, first of all? I mean, that is so wild. It's not that he has it, it's that he is it.
Yeah.
Right? So that I tell, you know, my students all the time, as a systematic theologian, if theology is the practice of contemplating God and everything in relation to God, and it makes you a jerk, you're doing it wrong, because the one we're contemplating doesn't merely have love, he is love. Yeah. So that if it's him that's being brought into focus by theology, you will be more loving. You just can't. You can't be a hater of love and a beholder of this God. That's not possible. The second one, so you have God is love, whatever that means. The second one is the law will be fulfilled in this, love the Lord and love, you know, love God and love your neighbor. That is, I mean, Galatians 5, you have all of, you know, the fruit of the spirit, the vices of the flesh. And if you want it all summed up, it's basically this: love your neighbor. And that's how you'll fulfill the law. Like, We now have like the ontological, to use a fancy term, like the personal being of God being described as love, and our chief verb being assigned love. So I'm like, this is a much bigger part of the Christian story than I think we realize. And our being able to even in a small way participate in that notion of love through romantic love is a profound gift. And it's why I think if you have the biblical theological imagination to see what love is doing in the unfolding of God's story, it gives you the perspective of finding meaning in the ordinary, of like, even when everything feels off, and I mean that, when everything feels off and you're like, what are we gonna do? Even in those moments, participating in love is a profound gift. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's easy to miss that, you know? The second profound gift that I love about love, if I can say it that way, is I know we resonate with this, but there can be an inward critic in my own life. I'll just speak for myself of, it's really easy for me to believe the gospel on behalf of other people. It's much harder for me to believe the gospel for myself. Mm-hmm. And I can convince my inward life that I have tricked everyone, that I'm really just a showman who is performing and who has the lines figured out pretty well, so that my wife, as you know, Luther called his wife his nearest neighbor, my wife is my nearest neighbor, the one who sees a lot of the stuff that other people don't get to see. When I'm having those moments of like, can this be true for me for real? Like, could God actually love me? Did he actually do something in my heart? Am I actually redeemed and regenerate? And all of these questions that come about in really inconvenient hours of the night. There's something about, like, no offense to you, Jared, but like as a friend, when you tell me the gospel, it's really meaningful. But when my wife tells me the gospel, it's from the vantage point of someone who has seen a lot.
Yeah.
And when she says, hey, Ronnie, I know you, I see you, it's clear to me the gospel is active in your life. There is a power of hearing the gospel from the lips of your spouse that's hard to explain.
Yeah.
Because she knows me, you know. Yeah. It's hard to fake her out. Maybe I did, but it would be hard, you know. So I think those two things, be able to participate in the grand narrative of love through romantic love in those two ways, is really profound.
Yeah. I'm thinking of the person who would say, man, I wish my spouse would remind me of the good news, or I wish I had somebody who was that close. The people who struggle with the concept of love, sometimes that comes from an inexperience, or at least just feeling like they've been shut out from the experience in some way, or betrayed in some way, or I used to feel that way and that's gone. And you know there is such it is a treasure when you have a spouse, or even, you know, taking it outside of romantic love, just a close friend or somebody who's like walked with you through,
who sees you,
who's, you know, seasons of life and can speak life in that way. But when you maybe you're in a season or you just don't have the relational, you know connections or the relational opportunity to experience that, when all you have is the word of Christ, you know, and I've been there myself, having to trust his word for me. And that was transformative in the most important way. I remember, so when I was writing Love Me Anyway, I was really intent on kind of looking at the question, did the disciples know that Jesus loved them? And I think we assume yes, but I wanted to see like where would that be recorded, or where would that be gathered? And I discovered that it's not until John 13, at least that's recorded, right? Who knows?
Yeah,
of course. Offline conversations, we don't have access to that. There's, you know, Jesus talks about God's love and all kinds of things like that, and about loving your neighbor. But in terms of like, hey guys, I love you. Like, when does that happen? When do they experience that? And it's as close as I can tell, and maybe I missed something, but I looked pretty closely. It's in the scene at the washing of the feet, which begins, John 13:1 begins, so where John says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And late in that passage, Jesus references them, or he references his love. He speaks his love to them. And, you know, that may not have been the first time that he ever said that, but I just thought, okay, the comparison or the connection between the expression of love and this picture of service, of there's, I mean, I think it's even a foreshadow of what he's preparing them for, his death, you know, that he would, you know, he sets aside his kind of outer, you know, garment there. He takes the, in order to wrap the towel and everything. Even that is almost like a picture of, you know, laying down his mm-hmm. life, setting aside. Mm-hmm. I think there's a connection there. It's the same word usage. That sacrifice that he's preparing them for, to let them know that this is what love looks like. That it is sacrificial. It's self-giving. It is stooping. When Jesus does it, there's no record in Greco-Roman or Jewish history of a superior washing the feet of an inferior, except for John chapter 13.
Mm.
It's a task even like Jewish slaves were considered too good for, to wash somebody's feet. And Jesus is telling them, wash each other's feet.
Yeah,
you know?
yeah.
And there's a whole exchange with Peter, or, you know, it's like, you'll never wash my feet.
Yeah.
But there's just something about the picture of love there. It's not romantic love, but in a sense it is Christ for his bride, right? But the fraternal love, the sacrificial love, the agape that's being shown there is our connection into what even romantic love should look like. It's not just about feeling good. It's about doing good. Mm-hmm. It's about laying our life down for someone else. And I think that's the way in to not being a cynic about this thing.
That's a good word.
You know, yeah. It's our way into not being a pessimist,
mm-hmm.
because love is bigger than we think it is.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Even, you know, if you're just buying those little sweethearts, you know, candies, and it's a little arrow,
yeah,
you know, pointing to something bigger and deeper and truer.
That's right.
Yeah. I hope this was helpful. I just want to give one word of advice, if
okay.
I can.
Yeah.
Dudes, if you're listening to this,
come on.
On the Wednesday or Thursday, I think Valentine's Day this year is on Saturday. You've got a few days.
Come on. You got it.
You may think, my wife doesn't care about that. Like, and she's even told me, who cares?
Yeah.
Do it because you love her. Get some flowers, box of chocolates, something. I don't know. Show her that you love her. Show her that your love for her is not contingent on whether she feels happy about Valentine's Day or not. But you just want to do something kind for her, to serve her. And do something kind for us.
Hey.
Sir, show your love for us.
Send some box of chocolates this way. That's what I meant.
Box of chocolates is fine, but a review would be great. We actually have not had any new reviews since October of last year.
All right.
When, you know, the previous co-host was here, he was very good about twisting arms and giving guilt trips. We're not really big on that.
No. I
was not
big on that. Sorry, man, I can't do
but
that.
That means people are slacking now.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If you're listening without leaving a review, you're a freeloader, and I just want you to do us a solid and go on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you listen to or watch your favorite podcast, and give us a good review. And until next time, may Jesus be big in your church.